Shut up, Howard, Quinn said, sounding desperate.
Who do you think told us about your powers, Sam?
I didn't know they were gonna do this, Quinn said. I didn't know, bruh. Sam found he wasn't even surprised. But still, Quinn's betrayal hurt more than anything Drake had done to him. He wanted to yell at Quinn. He wanted to call him a Judas. But yelling, shouting, crying would make him seem weak. I didn't know, brother. I'm telling you the truth, Quinn said.
Yeah, you thought maybe we just wanted to hold a meeting of the Sam Temple fan club, Howard said, and laughed at his own wit. Now grab on and push.
The cart started moving again. Sam felt sick inside. Quinn had betrayed him. Astrid was with Drake and Diana, and there was nothing he could do. It seemed to take forever. But finally, they stopped. Without warning, the cart tipped over and Sam landed on pavement. He rolled over onto his hands and knees and tried to surreptitiously scrape the Mylar against the concrete. The kick to his ribs knocked the wind out of him.
Hey! Quinn yelled. You don't have to be kicking him.
Hands grabbed Sam by the arms, and then he heard Ork's voice.
You make any trouble, I'll beat you down.
They marched him, stumbling, up a set of steps. There was a door, large from the sound of it. Then their feet echoed on polished linoleum. They paused. Another door opened. Sam was marched through. Ork kicked him in the back of the knees, and he fell face down. Ork straddled his back, grabbed his hair, and pulled his head back sharply.
Take the tape off, a voice commanded.
Howard picked at the edge of the tape, got a hold, and ripped it off, taking part of Sam's eyebrows with it. Sam recognized his surroundings immediately. The school gym. He was on the polished wood floor, with Kane standing calmly before him, arms crossed, gloating.
Hey, Sam, Kane said.
Sam swiveled his head to left and right. Ork, Panda, Howard, Freddy, and Chaz all armed with baseball bats. Quinn tried to shrink out of sight.
You have a lot of guys, Kane. I must be dangerous.
Kane nodded thoughtfully.
I like to be careful. Of course, Drake has your girlfriend, so if I was you, I wouldn't try to cause any trouble.
Drake is a violent, disturbed boy. Howard laughed.
Let him up, Kane ordered.
Ork climbed off Sam's back, but not without digging a knee into his ribs first. Sam stood, shaky, but glad to be off the floor. He studied Kane closely. They'd met at the plaza when Kane had first arrived. Since then, Sam had seen Kane only in passing. Kane studied him just as closely.
What is it you want with me? Sam asked.
Kane started to chew at his thumb, then put his hands down by his side so that he looked almost as if he were standing at attention.
I wish there was some way we could be friends, Sam.
I can see you're dying to be my new homie.
Kane laughed.
See? You have a sense of humor.
That wouldn't have come from your mother. She never seemed very funny to me.
Maybe it came from your father?
I wouldn't know.
No? Why not?
You have my mother's laptop. You have all her personal papers. And you have Quinn answering questions about me. So I'm guessing you already know the answer.
Kane nodded.
Yes. Your father disappeared soon after you were born. I guess he wasn't too impressed with you, huh?
Kane laughed at his own joke,
and some of his toadies joined in half-heartedly, not really getting it.
Well, don't feel bad. As it happens, my biological father disappeared too. And my mother.
Sam didn't answer. His hands were numb from the plastic tie. He was scared, but determined not to show it. You're not supposed to wear street shoes on the gym floor, Sam said.
So your father disappears and you don't even want to know why?
Kane asked.
Interesting. Me, I've always wanted to know who my real parents were.
Let me guess, you're secretly a wizard who was raised by Muggles. Kane's smile was cold. He raised his hand, palm out. An invisible fist hit Sam in the face. He staggered back. He barely stopped himself from falling, but his head was reeling. Blood leaked from his nose.
Yeah, kind of,
Kane said. He extended both hands, and Sam felt himself rising off the floor. Kane raised him about 3 feet, then laced his fingers together, and Sam fell hard. Sam picked himself up slowly. His left leg was wobbly. His ankle felt sprained.
We have a system for measuring the power, Kane said. Diana came up with it, actually. She can read people if she holds their hands. She can tell how much they have. She describes it as being like a cell phone signal. 1 bar, 2 bars, 3 bars. You know what I am?
Crazy? Sam spit out the blood that ran down into his mouth.
4 bars, Sam. I'm the only one she's ever read who has 4 bars. I could pick you up, fly you into the ceiling, or slam you against a wall.
He illustrated his point with hand motions that made it look as if he were doing a hula dance.
You could get work with a circus, Sam said brightly. Ooh, tough guy.
Kane seemed annoyed that Sam hadn't responded with awe.
Look, Kane, my hands are tied. You've got 5 of your thugs standing around me with baseball bats, and I'm supposed to be terrified because you can do magic tricks?
Sam made the count 5 rather than 6. He wasn't about to count Quinn as anything. Kane registered the omission and shot a suspicious glance at Quinn. Quinn still looked like a kid who didn't know where to stand or what to do with himself. And one of those 5, Sam said, is a murderer. A murderer and a bunch of cowards. That's your posse, Kane. Kane's eyes went wide. He bared his teeth, furious. And suddenly, Sam was flying across the room. Flying like he'd been shot out of a catapult. The gym spun around him. He hit the basketball hoop hard, head smashing into the glass. He hung for a moment from the hoop, and then fell onto his back. He was dragged by unseen hands of terrifying strength, like he'd been swept back by a tornado. He came to rest at Kane's feet. He was slow getting back up this time. The flow from his nose had been joined by a trickle of blood from his forehead.
Several of us developed strange powers, starting a few months ago, Kane said conversationally. We were like a secret club. Frederico, Andrew, Deca, Brianna, some others. We worked together to develop them. Encouraged each other. See, that's the difference between Coates people and you townies. In a boarding school, it's hard to keep secrets. But soon it became clear that my powers were of a whole different order. What I just did to you? No one else could do that.
Yeah, that was cool, Sam said with shaky defiance. Can you do it again?
He's baiting you.
It was Diana coming into the room, and obviously not happy with what she was seeing.
He's trying to prove he's tough, Kane snapped. Yes, and he's proved it. Move on.
Watch how you talk to me, Diana, Kane grated. Diana sauntered over to stand beside Kane. She crossed her arms over her chest and shook her head at Sam in mock dismay.
Well, you look pretty bad, Sam.
He'll look worse, Kane threatened. Diana sighed.
Here's the deal, Sam. Kane wants some answers from you.
Why not ask Quinn?
Because he doesn't know the answers, but you do. So here's the thing. If you don't answer Fearless Leader's questions, Drake is gonna start beating on Astrid. And just so you know, Drake is sick in the head. I'm not saying that to scare you, I'm saying it because it's true. I'm a bad girl. Kane has delusions of grandeur. But Drake is flat out sick in the head. He could kill her, Sam. And he's gonna start up in 5 minutes unless I go back and tell him not to. So, tick-tock.
Sam swallowed blood and bile.
What questions?
Diana rolled her eyes and turned to Kane.
See how easy that was?
Amazingly, Kane took it from Diana. No threats, no attack on her, just seething and resentment and acceptance.
He's in love with her, Sam realized with a shock.
The times he had seen them together, there had never been any outward sign of affection, but there was no other possible answer. Kane said,
"Tell me about your father."
Sam shrugged, a painful move that made him wince.
He wasn't a part of my life. All I know is my mom didn't like talking about him.
Your mother, Nurse Temple.
Yeah.
The name on your birth certificate, where it has the father's name, it says Tegan Smith.
Okay.
Tegan. A very unusual name. Very rare.
So what?
Whereas Smith is really common. It's a name a man might use who wanted to hide his real name.
Look, I'm answering your questions. Let Astrid go.
Tegan, Kane repeated. Right there on the birth certificate. Mother, Constance Temple. Father, Tegan Smith. Date of birth, November the 22nd. Time of birth, 10:12 p.m., Sierra Vista Regional Medical.
So now you can do my horoscope.
You're not interested in any of this?
Sam sighed.
I'm interested in what's going on.
Why the phase happened. How we make it stop, or else how we escape from it. On the big list of things to worry about, my biological father, who I never knew, who wasn't anything to me, is way down that list.
You bug out in 5 days, Sam. Interested in that?
Let Astrid go.
Diana said,
"Come on, Kane, get on with it."
Kane smirked.
I'm very interested in the question of disappearing. You know why? Because I don't want to die. And I don't want to suddenly find myself back in the world. I like it here in the phase.
Is that what you think happens? We jump back into the world?
I'm asking the questions,
Kane snapped. Let Astrid go.
The point is, Kane continued, you and I share something in common, Sam. We were born just 3 minutes apart.
Sam felt a tingle go up his spine.
3 minutes, Kane said, moving closer. You go first, and then me.
No, Sam said. It can't be.
It can, Kane said. It is. And you are, brother.
The door burst open. Drake Merwin barreled into the room. He was looking for something.
Is she here?
Who?
Diana demanded.
Who do you think? The blonde and her retard brother.
You let her get away?
Kane demanded, forgetting Sam for the moment.
I didn't let her get away. They were in the room with me. The girl was pissing me off, so I smacked her. Then they disappeared. Gone.
Kane shot a murderous look at Diana. Diana said,
No. She was months away from turning 15. And anyway, her little brother is 4.
Then how? Kane furrowed his brow.
Can it be the power?
Diana shook her head.
I read Astrid again on the way here. She's barely at 2 bars. No way. 2 people teleporting?
The color drained from Kane's face.
The retard? He's autistic. He's like he's in his own world.
Diana protested.
Did you read him? He's a little autistic kid. Why would I read him?
Kane turned to Sam. What do you know about this? He raised his hand, a threat. His face inches from Sam's. He screamed, What do you know?
Well, I know that I enjoy seeing you scared, Kane.
The invisible fist sent Sam sprawling on his back. Diana, for the first time, looked worried. Her usual smirk was gone.
The only time we saw teleporting was Taylor up at Coates, and she could only go across a room. She was a 3. If this kid can teleport himself and his sister through walls, he could be a 4.
Kane said softly.
Yes,
Diana said.
He could be a 4.
When she said the word 4, she looked straight at Sam.
He could be even more.
Kane said,
Ork, Howard, lock Sam up. Tie him down so he can't get that Mylar off his hands. Then get Freddy to help you. He's done plastering before. He knows what to do. Get whatever you need from the hardware store.
He grabbed Drake by the shoulder.
Find Astrid and that kid.
How am I gonna catch them if they can just zap out whenever they want?
I didn't say catch them, Kane said. Take a gun, Drake. Shoot them both before they see you.
Sam charged at Kane and plowed into him before he could react. The momentum carried them both to the floor. Sam headbutted Kane in the nose. Kane was slow to recover, but Drake and Ork swarmed over Sam and kicked him off Kane. Sam groaned in pain.
You can't kill people, Kane. Are you crazy?
You hurt my nose, Kane said.
You're screwed up, Kane. You need help. You're insane.
Yeah,
Kane said, touching his nose and wincing at the pain.
That's what they keep telling me. It's what Nurse Temple, Mom, told me. Just be glad I need to keep you around, Sam. I need to see you blink out. Figure out how to keep it from happening to me. Ork, take this hero away. Drake, go.
If you hurt them, Drake, I'll hunt you down and kill you!
Sam shouted.
Don't waste your breath,
Diana said to him.
You don't know, Drake. Your girlfriend's as good as dead.
22. 128 hours, 32 minutes. Astrid wanted to scream at Drake and Diana, to denounce them, to demand to know what kind of worthless human beings used the phase as an excuse for violence. But she had to keep little Pete calm. That was her top priority, her brother. Her blank-faced, helpless, unloving brother. She resented him. He had turned her into a mother at age 14. It wasn't right. This should be her time to shine, to be bold. This was her time to use her intellect, that supposedly great gift. Instead, she was a babysitter. Astrid and little Pete were shown, with mock courtesy, into a classroom. It wasn't one of Astrid's classes, but might as well have been. Everything was achingly familiar. Books open on desks, walls festooned with student artwork and projects.
"Have a seat. Read a book if you want," Diana said. "I know you like that kind of thing."
Astrid hefted one of the books.
"Yes, fourth grade math. I love that kind of thing."
"You know, I really dislike you,"
Diana said. Drake leaned against a wall and smirked.
"Of course you dislike me," Astrid said. "I make you feel inferior."
Diana's eyes flashed.
"I don't feel inferior to anyone."
"Really? Because usually a person who does bad things recognizes that there's something a little wrong with them. You know? Even if they suppress it, they know they're sick inside."
"Yeah,"
Diana said laconically.
"I feel bad about that. My evil heart and all. Give me your hand."
"What?"
"I promise not to infect you with my badness. Give me your hand."
"No."
"Drake, make her give me her hand."
Drake came off the wall. Astrid stuck out her hand. Diana took it in hers and held it.
"You read people,"
Astrid said.
"I should have figured it out earlier. You have the power, don't you?"
She looked at Diana like she was looking at a specimen in a laboratory.
"Yep,"
Diana said, releasing her.
"I read people. But don't worry, I just read power levels, not your secret little thoughts about how much you want to make out with Sam Temple."
Astrid flushed despite herself. Diana laughed at her.
"Oh, please, that's obvious. He's cute. He's brave. He's smart, but not as smart as you. He's perfect."
"He's a friend," Astrid said.
"Uh-huh. Well, we're about to find out how good a friend he is. He knows we have you. If he doesn't tell Kane everything Kane wants to know and do whatever Kane tells him to do, Drake here is gonna hurt you."
Astrid's insides turned to jelly.
"What?"
Diana sighed.
"Well, that's why we keep Drake around. He enjoys hurting people. We don't keep him around for his conversational skills."
Drake looked like he'd rather take a shot at Diana. His narrow lizard eyes narrowed further. Diana didn't miss his expression.
"Go ahead. Raise a hand against me, Drake,"
Diana taunted.
"Kane would kill you."
To Astrid, she said,
"Better behave yourself. He's all riled up now."
Diana left. Astrid felt Drake's eyes on her, but she couldn't look at him. She kept her gaze down on the math book, then glanced at her brother, who sat playing his stupid game, unable, unwilling, uncaring. Astrid felt ashamed of her own fear, ashamed that she couldn't look at the thug who leaned insouciantly against the wall. She had no doubt that Sam would do his best to save her. But Kane might ask for something Sam couldn't give. She needed to think. She needed to work out a plan. She was scared. She always had been scared of physical violence. She was scared of the emptiness she sensed in Drake Merwin. She scooted her desk up beside little Pete's and put a hand on his shoulder. No reaction. He knew she was there, but he showed nothing, absorbed in his game. Still not looking at Drake, Astrid said,
Does it bother you that Diana treats you like some wild animal she keeps on a leash?
Drake said, Doesn't it bother you going around with that retard? Having a little tard practically attached to you?
He's not retarded,
Astrid said evenly.
Oh, is that the wrong word?
Retard?
He's autistic.
Retarded, Drake insisted. Astrid looked at him. She willed herself to meet his gaze.
Retarded is a word people don't use anymore. When they did use it, they used it to signify an impairment of intelligence. Petey is not intellectually impaired in that way. He has at least normal IQ and may have a higher than normal IQ. So the word doesn't apply.
Yeah? Huh. Because I like the word retard. In fact, I'd like to hear you say it. Retard.
Astrid felt dread sap her strength. There was not the slightest doubt in her mind that he meant to hurt her. She held his gaze for a while, but then looked down.
Retard, Drake insisted. Say it.
No,
Astrid whispered. Drake sauntered across the room. He was not carrying a weapon. He didn't need to. He placed his fists on her desk and leaned over her.
Retard, Drake said. Say, my brother is a retard.
Astrid didn't trust herself to speak. She was choking back tears. She wanted to believe she was brave, but now, with the thug inches away from her, she knew that she was not.
My brother. Come on, say it with me. My. Say it.
The slap was so quick, she barely registered his hand moving. Her face burned.
Say it. My.
My.
She whispered.
Louder. I want the little retard to hear it. My brother is a retard.
The second slap was so hard, she almost fell from the chair.
You can say it while your face is still pretty, or you can say it after I've smashed it in. Your choice. My brother is a retard.
My brother is a retard,
Astrid said, her voice shaking. Drake laughed delightedly and crossed to little Pete, who had looked up from his video game and seemed almost to register what was happening. Drake put his face into little Pete's space and with one hand yanked Astrid by the hair so that her mouth was close to little Pete's ear and said,
One more time, nice and loud.
He pushed Astrid's face against the side of little Pete's head and yelled, My brother is... And Astrid fell back on her bed. Her bed. Her bedroom. Little Pete was in the window seat, cross-legged on the bench, video game in his hand. Astrid knew immediately what had happened, but it was still impossibly disorienting. One second in the school, the next in her room. She couldn't look at him. Her face burned from the slaps, but even more from shame.
Thanks, Petey,
she whispered. Ork dragged Sam from the gym into the weight room. Howard looked around, considering what he should do.
Howard, man, you can't be down with this, Sam pleaded. You can't be okay with Kane killing Astrid and little Pete. Ork, even you can't be okay with this. You didn't mean to kill Beth. This is way over the line.
Yeah, it is over the line,
Howard admitted, preoccupied, his mouth twisted quizzically to one side.
You have to help me. Let me go after Drake.
I don't think so, Sammy. See, I've seen what kind of stuff Drake can do. And we've both seen what kind of stuff Kane can do.
To Ork, Howard said,
Let's put him here on this bench, face up. We'll tie his legs to the upright here.
Ork lifted Sam and slammed him down onto the weight bench. Ork, this is going to be cold-blooded murder, Sam said.
Not me, man,
Ork said.
I'm just tying you up.
Drake is going to murder Astrid. She helped you get through math. You can stop this, Ork.
She wasn't supposed to tell anyone about that,
Ork grumbled.
Anyway, no more math class.
They used rope to lash his ankles to the legs of the bench. They tied another rope around his waist.
Okay, now here's the good part,
Howard said.
We load some weight on the bar. We tie Sam's hands to the bar and lower it down on the slide, right? He'll be busy keeping the bar off his neck.
Ork was slow to understand, so Howard showed him. Then Ork piled weight plates onto the bar.
What can you bench press, Sam?
Howard asked.
I'd say put on 245s on each end, right? With the bar, that makes it 200 pounds.
No way he presses 200,
Ork opined.
I think you're right, Ork. I think he's gonna be busy just keeping that bar from choking him.
This isn't right, Howard, Sam said. You know it isn't right. You don't do stuff like this, either of you. You're bullies. You're not cold-blooded killers. Howard sighed.
Sammy, it's a whole different world, haven't you noticed? It's a phase, man.
Ork lowered the weight. The bar rested on Sam's bound wrists, which pressed down against his Adam's apple. He pushed upward with all his strength, but on his best day he couldn't lift 200 pounds. All he could do was keep up enough upward pressure to keep breathing. Ork laughed and said,
Come on, man. We better get back to Kane before we miss more fun.
Howard followed Ork, but paused at the door.
It's kind of weird, Sam. That first night, man, I thought, old school bus Sam, he's gonna be running things soon if we don't look out. Everyone was looking to you. You know that. But no, you were too cool to play it that way. Off you go without a word to anyone. Off with Astrid.
He laughed.
Of course, she is hot, isn't she? And now Kane's running the phase, and Drake's gonna take out your girlfriend.
Sam struggled against the weight, but there was no way to lift it. Even if he'd had a good angle on it, he could not have hefted it. But Howard, for all his cleverness, had overlooked one thing. In this position, Sam could reach the Mylar with his teeth. He tried to rip at the fabric, but it was slow work, and he had no time. He had no doubt that Little Pete had teleported himself and Astrid to their home. Drake would find them there. Sam tried to get the Mylar between his teeth, but it was slippery and tough. And when he focused on that, he lost focus on keeping the weight off his neck. The bar pressed his knuckles into his throat. He pushed upward, but already his arms were cramping. His muscles were weakening. He could tear at the Mylar and free his hands, or he could keep the bar from choking him. It was impossible to do both. And even if he did free his hands, so what? He wasn't like Kane. He didn't have control of his powers. He might tear the Mylar, and then be unable to do anything. The bar slipped lower. He had the Mylar between his teeth. He chewed it, trying to make a small hole he could enlarge. By now, Drake would be out of the school and on the move. Would he have to stop somewhere first to retrieve the gun? Astrid would know they were going to come after her. She would know it would be dangerous to stay in her house. Would she move fast enough? And where could she go? Sam felt the grind of tooth on tooth. He had made a hole. But he was gasping for breath. He barely noticed the door opening. Quick steps on the carpet and the sound and feel of one of the weight plates sliding off the bar. Sam took a breath.
Hang on, bruh.
Quinn slid the rest of the weights from the bar. With quaking arms, Sam pushed the bar up off his neck.
I didn't know they would do this, bruh. I didn't know, man.
Quinn said. He was pale, like he'd never, ever seen the sun.
You gotta believe me, Sam.
He was working at the ropes. Sam sat up. Quinn was a wreck. He had been crying, and his eyes were red and puffy.
Honest to God, I didn't know.
I have to get to Astrid before Drake does, Sam said.
I know. I know. This is messed up.
With his legs free, Sam stood. Is this another trick? Are they gonna follow me to Astrid?
No, man. They'll beat me up if they find out I let you go.
Quinn spread his hands, pleading.
You have to take me with you.
How am I supposed to trust you, Quinn?
If you leave me here, what do you think Kane is gonna do to me?
Sam had no time for argument. He decided quickly. You'd better pray Astrid doesn't get hurt, Quinn. If you're doing this to sell me out, you better make sure I'm dead, too. Quinn licked his lips nervously.
You don't have to threaten me, brah.
Don't call me brah, Sam said. I'm not your brother. 23. 128 hours, 22 minutes. Astrid felt a wave of relief, followed by a far stronger wave of self-loathing. She had let Drake terrorize her. She had called little Pete a retard. Her hands were trembling. She had betrayed her brother. She hated him for being what he was, for being so needy. And she had betrayed him to spare herself. And now she was far more angry at herself than she had ever been at him. But now she had to think. Quick. What to do? Drake would catch her again. Surely Kane or that wicked creature Diana would figure out what had happened. It would take only a few seconds for Drake to run to report to them. A few seconds more for Kane to realize what had happened. If Diana really could read the power in people, she would know it wasn't Astrid who had teleported them. She would know it was Little Pete. She and Little Pete had to go. Now. But where? Somewhere Drake wouldn't look. Somewhere Sam might look. If he escaped. If he was even alive. Her brain was moving in slow motion, spinning in circles, unable to focus. She kept seeing that terrible, sick face, feeling the sharp sting of his hand, the way the heat of it lingered and joined with the hot blush of shame. Think, you idiot, she berated herself. Think, it's all you're good at. They couldn't go through town. They couldn't take a car. It was too late to start teaching herself to drive. Her mind was an out-of-focus camera, turning and swirling and coming back again and again to the moment when the fear took over, when she couldn't resist anymore, when she betrayed her brother. Over and over, a loop in her head played the words, "My brother is a retard." Clifftop. The room they had shared there that first night. Yes. Sam would figure it out. But Quinn had been there too. He might reach the same conclusion. Astrid hesitated. No time for hesitation. Drake wouldn't hesitate. By now he was already after them. He was already on his way. She couldn't face him again.
Petey, we have to go.
Astrid grabbed his hand and drew him after her. Down the stairs. No time to stop for anything. No time at all. To the front door. No. Back door was better. They walked, little Pete could seldom be induced to run, across the backyard. The natural wood fence was fairly low, but still, it was exhausting and time-consuming getting little Pete to scale it. They ran through the neighbor's backyard.
"Stay off the streets," she told herself.
They went as far as they could, backyard to backyard, then dodged into the street when their way was blocked, and then back to yards and alleyways again. They saw no one, but there was no way to know if they were being watched. They reached the hill that marked the edge of town and the beginning of the clifftop grounds. They scrambled up through shrubbery, clinging to sand. Astrid pulled little Pete along, desperate to move quickly, but afraid to do anything to set him off. Clifftop had not changed. The barrier was still there. The lobby was still clean, still bright, still empty. Astrid had the electronic key they'd made on that first night. She found the suite, opened the door, and collapsed inside onto the bed. She lay there, panting, staring up at the blank ceiling. The bed was soft. The air conditioning hummed. She could explain away the words Drake had put in her mouth. They were meaningless words. Just words. Little Pete didn't care. But she could not explain away the fear. It shamed her. She put a cold hand to her face to see if it really was as hot as it was in her imagination.
"Where are we going, Sam?"
Quinn asked anxiously. They were moving at an easy lope, not an all-out run, but a jog they could sustain. Sam was leading them straight through town, straight through the plaza, as if indifferent to pursuit.
"We're going to find Astrid before Drake does," Sam said.
"Let's go check her house."
"No. The good thing about a genius is you don't have to wonder if she's doing the stupid thing. She'll know she has to get out of her house."
"Where would she go?"
Sam thought for a moment.
"Power plant."
"The power plant?"
"Yeah. So we're gonna grab a boat and head up the coast."
"Okay. But dude, shouldn't we be a little more sneaky instead of just running right through town?"
Sam didn't answer him. Part of the reason he was going in a straight line rather than being sneaky was that he hoped to pick up Adelio at the fire station. The other was that he needed to know whether Quinn would betray him the first chance he got. And there was a matter of tactics that Sam understood intuitively. Kane had more power, so Sam would need more speed. The longer he let the game go on, the more likely it was that Kane would win. They reached the fire station. Adelio was sitting in the cab of the fire engine, with the engine running. He spotted Sam and Quinn and leaned out of the window.
"Good timing, man. I'm going to try it out. Take it on a..."
He fell silent when he saw Sam's blood-streaked face.
"Adelio, come on. We have to go."
"Okay, man, just let me get..."
"No, I mean right now. Drake's looking for Astrid. He's gonna kill her."
Adelio jumped down from the fire engine.
"Where to?"
"The marina. We're gonna take a boat. I think Astrid will head for the power plant."
The three of them jogged toward the marina. Sam knew that Ork and Howard were up at the school with Kane. Drake was on his way to Astrid's house. That would leave a few thugs still roaming loose, but Sam wasn't too worried about any of them. They spotted Mallet and a Coates kid lounging on the steps of Town Hall. Neither challenged them as they ran past. The marina wasn't large, just 40 slips, about half of them full. There was a dry dock and the rattling, rusty, tin warehouse that had once been a cannery and now housed boat repair shops. A lot of boats were up out of the water on blocks, looking ungainly and like a stiff breeze might topple them. No one was there. No one was blocking their path. "What do we take?" Sam wondered. He had reached his first goal, but he knew nothing about boats. He looked to Adelio and got a shrug. "Okay. Something that will carry 5 people. Motorboat. With a full tank of gas. Quinn, take the boats on the right. Adelio, left. I'll go to the end of the dock and work back. Go." They split up and started working their way along, jumping into each likely-looking boat, looking for keys, trying to figure out how to check the gas as time ticked away. In his mind's eye, Sam saw Drake searching Astrid's house, a gun in his hand. He would be slowed down a little by fear that Astrid and Little Pete would simply teleport again. Drake wouldn't know that Little Pete was not really in control of his powers, so he would try to be stealthy. He would be patient. That was good. The more uncertainty Drake had, the slower he'd go. Suddenly, an engine roared to life. Sam jumped back onto the dock from the boat he'd been exploring. He raced back along the dock and found Quinn sitting proudly in a Boston Whaler, an open motorboat. "She's gassed up," Quinn said over the sluggish chugging of the engine. "Good job, man," Sam said. He jumped into the boat beside Quinn. "Adelio, cast off." Adelio whipped the ropes off the cleats and jumped in.
"I gotta warn you, man. I get seasick."
"Not our biggest problem, huh?" Sam said.
"I started it, but I don't know how to drive it," Quinn said.
"Neither do I," Sam admitted. "But I guess I'm gonna learn."
"Hey! Hey!"
It was Ork's booming voice.
"Don't you pull away!"
Ork, Howard, and Panda were at the end of the dock. "Mallet," Sam said. "He saw us. He must have told them." The three bullies started running. Sam looked frantically at the controls. The engine was chugging. The boat, unmoored, was drifting away from the dock, but too slowly. Even Ork could easily jump the gap.
"Throttle,"
Adelio said, pointing at a red-tipped lever.
"That makes it go."
"Yeah. Hang on." Sam moved the throttle up a notch. The boat surged forward and slammed into a piling. Sam was knocked, almost but not quite, off his feet. Adelio snatched at the railing and held on tight. Quinn sat down hard in the bow. The bow scraped past the piling and almost by accident ended up aimed toward open water.
"You might want to take it slow at first," Adelio said.
"Stop! Stop that boat!"
Ork yelled breathlessly, pounding down the dock.
"I'll beat your stupid head in!"
Sam steered, he hoped, in the right direction, and chugged slowly away. There was no way Ork could clear the distance now.
"Kane will kill you!" Panda shouted.
"Quinn, you traitor!"
Howard yelled. "Tell them I made you do it," Sam said.
"What?"
"Do it," Sam hissed. Quinn stood up, cupped his hands, and yelled,
"He made me do it!"
"Now tell them we're going to the power plant."
"Dude,
do it," Sam insisted, "and point."
"We're heading to the power plant!"
Quinn yelled. He pointed north. Sam released the wheel, spun, and landed a hard left hook into Quinn's face. Quinn sat down hard again.
"What the..."
"Had to make it look good," Sam said. It was not an apology. The boat was in the clear now. Sam raised his hand, middle finger extended, high above his head, moved the throttle up another notch, and turned north toward the power plant.
"What's the game?" Adelio asked, mystified.
He stood well back from Sam, just in case Sam decided to punch him next.
"She won't be at the plant," Sam said. "She'll be at Clifftop. We're just going north as long as Ork is watching us."
"You lied to me,"
Quinn accused. He was playing with his chin, making sure his jaw was still attached.
"Yeah.
You didn't trust me."
Ork, Howard, and Panda disappeared from view, presumably running back to town to report to Kane. As soon as he was sure they were gone, Sam spun the wheel, pushed the throttle all the way up, and headed south. Drake lived in an empty house just off the plaza. It was less than a minute's walk away from Town Hall. It once had belonged to a guy who lived alone. It was small, just two bedrooms, very neat, very organized, the way Drake liked things. The guy, the homeowner, Drake forgot his name, had been a gun owner. 3 guns in all, a 20-gauge over-under shotgun, a .30-06 hunting rifle with a scope, and a 9mm Glock semi-automatic pistol. Drake kept all 3 guns loaded all the time. They were set out on the dining room table, a display, something to be gazed at lovingly. Now he hefted the rifle. The stock was as smooth as glass, polished to a high shine. It smelled of steel and oil. He was hesitant about taking the rifle, because he'd never fired a long gun before. He had no real idea how to use the scope. But how hard could it be? He slid into the leather strap and tested his shoulders for freedom of movement. The rifle was heavy and a little long. The rubber-cushioned butt came down to the back of his thigh, but he could manage it. Then he hefted the pistol. He squeezed the cross-hatched grip and wrapped his fingertip around the trigger. Drake loved the feel of this gun in his hand. His father had taught him to shoot, using his service pistol. Drake still remembered the first time. The loading of shells into the clip, sliding the clip into the butt of the gun, ratcheting the slide to lift around into place, clicking the safety. Click, safe. Click, deadly. He remembered the way his father had taught him to grip the butt, firmly but not too tight, to rest his right hand in the palm of his left and sight carefully, to turn his body sideways to present a smaller target if someone was shooting back. His father had had to yell because they were both wearing ear protection.
"If your target's shooting, you center the front sight in the notch of the rear sights. Raise it till your sights are sitting right under your target. Let your breath out slowly and squeeze."
That first bang, the recoil, the way the gun jumped 6 inches, the smell of powder. It was all as clear in Drake's mind as any memory he had. His first shot had completely missed the target. Same with the second, because after feeling the kick the first time, he had flinched in anticipation. The third shot, he had hit the target, catching just a piece of the lower corner. He had shot up a box of ammo that first day, and by the time he was done, he was hitting what he aimed at.
"What if I'm not shooting targets?"
he'd asked his father.
"What if I'm shooting at a person?"
"Don't shoot a person,"
his father had said. But then he relented, relieved, no doubt, to find something he could share with his disturbing son.
"Different people will tell you different techniques. But if it's me, say I'm doing a traffic stop and I think I see the citizen reach for a weapon, and I'm thinking I may have to take a quick shot. I just point. point like the barrel is a sixth finger. You point, and if you have to fire, you shoot half the clip. Bang, 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 bang.
Why do you shoot so many times?
Because if you have to shoot, you shoot to kill. Situation like that, you're not aiming carefully for his head or his heart. You're pointing at the center of mass, and you're hoping you get a lucky shot. But if you don't, if all you're hitting is shoulder or belly, the sheer velocity of the rounds will still knock him down.
Drake didn't think it would take six shots to kill Astrid. He remembered with vivid, slow-motion detail the time he had shot Holden, the neighbor's kid who liked to come over and annoy him. That had been a bullet to the thigh with a low-caliber gun, and still the kid had nearly died. That accident had landed Drake at Coates. He was holding a 9mm Glock right now, less powerful than his father's 40-caliber Smith & Wesson, but a lot more gun than the Target 22 he'd used on Holden. One shot would do it. One for the snooty blonde, one for the retard. That would be cool. He would come back, give his report to Kane, and say, "Two targets, two rounds." That would wipe the smirk off Diana's face. Astrid's house was not far, but the trick would be to get her before her little brother used the power to disappear again. Drake hated the power. There was only one reason why Kane and not Drake was running the show. Kane's powers. But Kane understood that the kids with powers had to be controlled. And once Kane and Diana had all the freaks under control, what was to stop Drake from using his own 9mm of magic to take it all for himself? First things first. He stared at Astrid's house from halfway down the block, looking for any sign of which room she might be in. He crept around to the back and up onto the back porch. The door was locked. Anyone who locked their back door locked their front door. But maybe not their windows. He hopped up onto the deck railing and leaned out to get a purchase on the window. It slid up easily. It was not an easy thing getting through the window without making a lot of noise. It took him 10 minutes to go through every room in the house, look in every closet, under every bed, behind every curtain, even look into the attic crawl spaces. He felt a moment of panic then. Astrid could be anywhere. He would look like a fool if he didn't get her. Where would she go? He checked the garage. Nothing there. No cars. Certainly no Astrid. But there was a lawnmower. And where there was a lawnmower, there would be... yes, a gas can. He wondered what would happen if Astrid and the retard magicked their way into a burning building. Drake opened the gas can, went to the kitchen, and began drizzling the gasoline across the counters, into the family room, a splash for the drapes, trailing into the dining room, across the table, and another splash for the front curtains. He couldn't find a match. He tore a piece of paper towel and lit it on the stove. He tossed the burning twist of paper onto the dining room table and left by the front door, not bothering to close it.
"That's one place she won't be able to hide,"
he told himself. He raced back to the plaza and up the stairs of the church. The church had a steeple. It wasn't very tall, but it would give him a pretty good perspective. Up the circular stairs. He pushed a hinged hatch and climbed up into a cramped, dusty, cobwebbed space, dominated by a bell. He carefully avoided touching the bell. The sound would carry. The windows were shuttered, covered with angled vents that let airflow through and sound resonate out, but only allowed him to see down. He used the butt of the rifle to knock the first vent out. It tumbled to the ground below. Kids in the plaza looked up. Let them. He smashed the other three vents out, and they clattered down. Now he had an unrestricted view in every direction across the orange tile roofs of Perdido Beach. He started from Astrid's house, which was already beginning to smoke. He worked his way methodically, a hunter, looking for any movement. Each time he spotted someone walking or running or biking, he would take a look at them through the rifle scope, line them up in the crosshairs. He felt like God. All he had to do was squeeze the trigger. But none of the moving shapes far below was Astrid. There was no way to miss that blonde hair. No. No Astrid. Then, just as he was giving up, he spotted a flurry of activity down at the marina. He swiveled the scope, and suddenly Sam Temple was clear in the bright circle. For a moment, the sights were on his chest. But then he was gone. He had jumped onto a boat. Impossible. Kane had Sam up at the school. How had he gotten away? Adelio and Quinn were on the boat, too, pulling away. Drake could see the water churning from the motor. Quinn. That's how Sam had gotten away. It had to be. Drake would have to have a nice talk with Quinn. On the dock, he could make out Ork waving a bat, yelling, unable to do anything. The boat gathered speed and arced north, leaving a long white wake drawn like an arrow on the water. There was no question Sam would try to find Astrid, and he was heading north. The power plant. Had to be. Drake cursed, and again, for just a moment, felt the almost desperate fear of failing Kane. He wasn't worried what Kane would do to him. After all, Kane needed him. But he knew if he failed to carry out Kane's orders, Diana would laugh. Drake put down the rifle. How could he reach the power plant ahead of Sam? There was no way. Even if he took a boat, he would be playing catch-up. A car? Maybe. But he didn't know the way, and the trip by boat would be more direct. It would take him a while to get down to the marina and... But wait. Wait a minute. The motorboat was pulling a U-turn.
Aren't you clever, Sam? Drake whispered. But not clever enough.
Through the scope, he could just make out Sam's face as he stood at the wheel, wind in his face, having escaped from Kane, having outwitted Ork, and now all cocky and sure of himself as he sped south. There was no way to take a shot from this distance. Drake knew that. He traversed the gun sight south and stopped at the barrier. Sam wouldn't have far to go in that direction. The beach at the bottom of the cliffs? If she was down there, Drake could never reach her before Sam got there in the motorboat. If she was down there, the game was over. But if not, if she was, say, in the hotel, clifftop? Then he had a chance, if he moved fast. How great would it be to shoot her right where Sam Temple could watch? 24. 127 hours, 45 minutes. Astrid almost missed spotting the boat. She had gone to the window only to draw the shades, but out of the corner of her eye,